How you doing, everyone? So good to see you. Can we give Jesus Christ an awesome clap and a shout of praise in the house this morning? So good. Wow. Wow, what a great atmosphere of the anointing. What a great atmosphere of the touch of God. So good. So good. Well, it's so great to be with you. Come on, stay standing on your feet. You're all young, fit, and athletic. Now look at you go. Like hamstring stretches. So good. Hey, I'm just so thrilled to be with you here at really what I just believe is just such a powerful, amazing church. I want to say something over your worship. You know, when you come to a church like this, you can kind of get familiar with the worship experience that you're having every Sunday. There is a touch of God on this worship. And so, come on, it's awesome. They're doing an amazing job. So let's give them a clap and let's give Jesus a clap. It's so, so good. And while you're standing, I just want to give a special shout out to Pastor Dustin and Jamie. Your pastor came and preached in our church in Australia in 2018. He hasn't been back since, but I'm kind of sitting there and I'm feeling the Holy Spirit just nudging me saying, he needs to do a 14-hour flight. And Keon came as well. He's never forgiven me for the flight. He says he loves me, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, we have a lot of great pastors come through our church, but you need to know of your pastor that there are people who come and preach, but there are people who preach and bring the anointing of God. You know the difference because something actually gets deposited in the house. Your pastor deposited the Spirit of God in our house. He prophesied over some of our team. And I've seen literally the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God that he spoke over many of our team. So come on, can we just honor Pastor Dustin this morning? Tell him he's a legend. In Jesus' name. So, so good. Hey, you can grab your seats. And of course, just a special shout out as well to Pastor Chris and Erica Estrada. Let's give them a clap as well. I know lots of clapping in the house of God today. But you know, Pastor Chris has been traveling to Australia for quite a number of years. He's basically half Australian. I think he has two passports, a US passport and an Aussie passport. And he's a great man of God. But you need to know, Pastor Chris and Erica, when they've come to Australia, they've preached in really the best churches, some of the top churches in our nation. And you need to know that there's great favor on them in the nation of Australia. They literally have the heart of our nation. It's an open door. And when Pastor Chris comes to Australia, I literally get text messages from pastors all around the country saying, I want to have Chris Estrada, I want to have Chris Estrada, I want to have Chris Estrada. And so he's a great man of God. Erica's been amazing. Erica just has moved very, very powerfully in the gift of the word of knowledge and the prophetic as well. Pastor Shane, who's with me, traveling from Australia, Pastor Erica actually prophesied over them about their future. And literally they have seen the fulfillment of that prophetic word, calling things into being that are not as though they were. So Chris, we love you. And I've got to tell you a story about Pastor Chris as well. I texted him the other day. I'm like, Chris, what do you want me to bring from Australia for you? I said, I can bring a kangaroo. Like, you just name it, I'll bring it. He goes, I want Tim Tams. So if you don't know what Tim Tams are, they're chocolate biscuits. So in my car outside, I've got 3 packets of Tim Tams ready to go. Hey, love from my family as well. I know my wife, Alison, is actually, she said, I'm getting up and I'm watching the online service. Love you online. You're amazing. And love my wife, Alison. And so this is my family. I've been married for 26 years. How cool is that? Come on, let's give Jesus a clap for 26 years of awesome marriage. And I have a son and I have a daughter. So my daughter's the eldest. She's about to turn 21 in a couple of weeks' time. She is single. And so she's going to kill me for this. And so very smart and passionate for Jesus. And so, and athletic as well. And so, see Pastor Chris, he will interview you and let's see what God does. But she's amazing. She's a great woman of God. Come on, God's raising up young women around the world. You need to know that. I feel it in the spirit. Come on. And she's one of them. And my son, Wade, he just turned 18 a couple of weeks ago. He's in his final year of high school, year 12. In Australia, we start high school in February and you finish school in November. And so he's a basketball fanatic. He's captain of his program that he plays with, and he's in the state basketball program and so on. So mum and dad have driven many hours across the world. He actually came to the US last year, July, I was here. He got nominated to represent a program called Australia USA. And he played in Dallas, in the Dallas tournament. And he actually won MVP. And there was a couple of hundred young people that were there. So he's pretty cool as well. He's also single as well. And he's kind of just got like awesome eyes, man. Like those green, bluey eyes. Because of the color of my skin, when he gets in the Aussie sun, man, he like browns up. He's a good looking brother, man. When he was small, he was like real fair and blonde hair and blue eyes. So I'd walk with him in the shops like this and people are like, "Is that your son?" So love my family. We're a close-knit family. And I want to encourage you, mums and dads, you know, one of the best things you can do, send your kids to kids' church, send your kids to youth group. You'll never, ever regretting sending your kids to youth group. So, and our young people, there is an onslaught of all kinds of wrong influences. God has given you a solution. Come on, where sin and iniquity is, the grace of God abounds all the more. Send your teenagers to youth group. And when they don't want to go, be a parent. You are going. So come on, mums and dads. God is good. Look, I know this is like the longest intro in the history of humanity, but don't worry. We're having a great time at Church 1132 today. So I'm the pastor of Horizon Church. We are a multi-site church in Australia. Our main church is in Sydney. Ever been to Australia before? You're welcome to come and just tag along with Pastor Chris. He's got a passport, everything. He just gets through immigration, no problem whatsoever. So, so good. Well, we're going to get into God's word today. And can we pray before we get into the word? Is that okay? So good. So Father, I just thank you for this awesome opportunity to be at Church 1132. Thank you, Lord, for the touch of your spirit. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the supernatural. Thank you for unlocking life, peace, and joy. You said in your word, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. You ready for the word this morning? Come on, Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. We're going to read one verse this morning and then we'll open up this passage as we go. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go over and worship." Now here we go. "And we will come back to you." The message I'm going to preach this morning is called, "We Will Come Back to You." Today we're going to meet up with Abraham. God had given to him a promise that he would have a son. This was a long-awaited promise. The Bible tells us that Abraham was 75 years of age when this promise came to him. And at 100 years of age, Abraham finally has a child. Of course, that boy, that son, his name was Isaac. The Bible tells us a story. Time passes by and God speaks to Abraham and tells him something that you and I in the natural, we would know is absolutely ridiculous and unreasonable. God says to him, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go up on a mountain that I will show you, and you are to go and sacrifice him." Now, I need to just make a statement at the start of this message. If you're thinking of sacrificing your child, we have a place for you. It's called jail. Please do not take what I'm saying as literal. We are telling a Bible story, and all of God's people said, it was settled. God says, take your son. Take the promise that I've given to you and take him up on the mountain of sacrifice. Now, Abraham's got a problem. The reason why he has a problem, he's in a faith crisis. He's in a theological crisis because earlier on in Genesis, God speaks to him and says to him, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. And God is asking him, which is a contest of contradiction. And how many of you know that faith always has a contradiction? God speaks to him and says, take the thing that I've promised to you and take him up on the mountain. But God, you gave me a word, and your word was that in Isaac, my seed shall be called. God says, give me the promise. And you see a pattern in the word of God that God always reveals and then God reverses. Not only is he in a theological crisis, he's in a family crisis. Because there's no record in scripture whatsoever of Abraham going to Sarah and saying, hey, Sarah, Isaac and I are going on a trip. Cool. You going camping, fishing? Taking Isaac and I'm going to sacrifice him. She would have said, not before I sacrifice you. And all the mums said, amen. He's in a social crisis. The guy is 100 years of age. He ain't got no time to have more children. This is it. What are people going to think about him placing the promise of God on an altar? He's in an emotional crisis. And we see he's in an emotional crisis because in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, watch what the word of God says. God speaks to him and says, he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, watch this, whom you love. This is the first time in the Bible that the word love appears. And when God says, you love something, you love something. And God says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Genesis chapter 22, verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Now, the Bible tells us that this was a journey. In actual fact, if you do a study, from where Abraham was to where he needed to get to was a 50-mile journey. The Bible tells us it actually took him 3 days to get from where they were to where they needed to be. Now, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. God asked him to do something that's unreasonable and ridiculous. God asked him to do something that is contrary to what normal human behavior should be. This was a 3-day journey of obedience. Now, you and I, we go on a journey. We got this thing called an iPhone. It distracts us. We can distract our thinking, distract our thoughts, distract our minds to the task. This guy ain't got no iPhone. He's staring at the stars, thinking, God, why would you call me to do something like this? Why would you call me to give up something that I love so much? The 3 days considering the purposes of God. Gets to the place, and Abraham makes a statement. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go over and worship. Now watch this. He says, we will come back to you. He doesn't say, I will come back to you. He says, we, that is myself and my son, we're coming back. Now here's the problem. This is the problem. This child is about to be put on an altar of sacrifice. Why would he say, we will come back to you? But Abraham, there's obviously something in his heart and in his mind that has given him a resolute conviction. Come on, a resolute conviction that no matter what happens, we are coming back. And the question I have for us this morning, what was it? What gave Abraham the idea that even though this child was about to be placed, this boy on an altar, he says, we, not I, we, come on church, we will come back to you. And the New Testament gives us an insight. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now watch verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11. Watch this. Concluding. Come on, everyone say the word concluding. Oh, come on, that was half strength there. Concluding. That is, I have a resolute and settled conviction, watch this, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now, stay with me now. You got to see this. The challenge we've got with the verse that we've just read is that from Genesis chapter 1 through to Genesis chapter 22, this story occurred in Genesis chapter 23, there are no resurrections from the dead. That is, our lives are built on reference points. So this is the first time that Abraham has this thought and this idea, God could raise him from the dead. The problem with that is that every decision you and I make is based on prior knowledge. For example, you drove to church this morning. You know that if you turn left here, turn right there, accelerate and beat the traffic light, you will get to church on time. That is, you have prior knowledge on how, come on church, how to best get to church. Knowledge and experience has informed you on how you should live your life so that you are not late to church 11:32. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be like, I'm going to my coffee shop. Amen. That coffee shop, that'll kill you. That one is a blessing. Amen, somebody. You know, if I take that particular airline, I'm going to end up somewhere else and not on the destination that I'm meant to take. Why? Knowledge and experience has informed you. It's told you. Watch this. It's given you a frame of reference. If I put my kid in that school, my kid ain't growing up in the ways of Jesus. If I put him in that school, they're going to do well. Why? Knowledge has informed. Come on, church. Knowledge has informed your decision. In Australia, we got a lot of beaches. Some beaches have sharks. I was in this beach. Oh, man, I got to tell this story once. I'm snorkeling. I'm like having the time of my life. I was a little bit younger back then. You know, like my hair was flowing in the water, just in the Aussie sun like this, you know. Now I'm shaved and saved. And I feel something hit my leg. And I'm like, seaweed? I look down. Church, there is a shark underneath me, circling. Now, you heard of Jesus walking on water? I ran on water. That beach, no more. That beach, good. Why? Watch this. Knowledge informed me. It governed my decision. Abraham has some kind of knowledge. There are no resurrections from the dead. He cannot point to Lazarus. He cannot point to the funeral at Nain. Neither can he talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he says, God is able to raise him, come on, even from the dead. So our question then is, where did he get the knowledge from? Where did he get this understanding that the God of the universe could raise, come on church, raise someone back to life? Come on, are you with me this morning? Watch this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says this. It was by faith, everyone say faith. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Amen. Though she was barren and was too old. Now, you may think you're old, but when the Bible says you're too old, you're too old. She was not just too old, she was barren. But watch this, by faith, she was able. She believed that God, I feel a word for someone this morning. There's a word for someone in this house. This is God's word. She believed. Come on, heaven and earth shall pass away. Come on, you're going to get pregnant. You're going to have your first child in Jesus' name. She believed. Come on, this is a word for you. She believed. Come on, Sarah. She believed that God would keep his promise. Now watch this, verse 12. And so, a small group of people, faith, come on, church, faith unlocked a nation. Wow. A whole nation came from this one man. Here we go again. He was good as dead. In other words, the Bible's just like PG, you know? In other words, let's just read into it. And forgive me, I know it's Sunday morning, but this brother's old. His bodily parts are struggling. And the Bible said, this one man, he's good as dead. It's like, God, be nice to people. He's as good as dead. That seems funny. Excuse me. Watch us. Where did his knowledge come from that God was able to do this? He looked back at his story. And watch this, he saw the footsteps of grace. And God took a barren woman who was too old and a man who was good as dead. And God caused something to live. And the Spirit of God speaks to us today and says, your dream may be dead. Your marriage may feel like it's lost and it's gone. You may, as a word, your son and your daughter may be away from God and it is good as dead. But God speaks to you today and he says, I can cause it to come back to life in Jesus' mighty name. Your marriage can be restored. Oh, yes, there's a healing anointing here today. You can be healed. You can be set free. You can be empowered. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he can cause dead things to come back. Oh, I feel power here today. He can cause dead things. Come on. Dead things to come back to life. Now, watch this. Abraham stands, watch this, not on a good thought, not on a good idea. He stands on a promise. Watch this. God does not build our lives on explanations. He builds our lives on promises. Let me say that again now. God, we live in a generation, explain it to me. How do you drive the car? Explain it to me. How do you buy a new laptop? Explain it to me. Everything comes with manuals. Everything comes with instructions. God does not build our lives on explanations. He builds our lives on promises. Hold on to the promise from God. Hold on to it. Even watch this when there is a contest of contradiction, because it's in the contradiction that God actually builds your faith. Moses, go forward. How can I go forward? There's a Red Sea in front of me. There's an army behind me. Have you brought us out here to die? God says, just move. It's a contradiction, but that is how faith, come on, is built. Now, let me tell you something. In 2018, in the later part of 2018, we had like full on in our church. Something miraculous, incredible. You know, like Paul says, a great and effective door has opened for me, but there are many adversaries. It's kind of called this the parallel of tension. That's the best way to write it down. Equal to the door opening is always equal to the opposition. You cannot have a door open in the purposes of God without equal opposition. So we got a gentleman in our church, lovely gentleman, man of God. His wife was serving in our kids' ministry. And he was in federal politics in Australia, Christian man, a beautiful family, loves Jesus with all their heart. Well, he calls me one day. He says, oh, Brad, there's some changes going on in our political party, and the political party have put me forward to become the next Prime Minister of Australia. I'm like, well, it's not every day you get a phone call like this. So I'm like, what do I do with this? And I felt God say, you need to pray. You got to pray. So I said to him, I said, are you able to give me till tomorrow morning? He says, yeah, sure. So I felt from God, like, you got to treat this stuff serious, man. I prayed through the night. I literally, like, just, you know, Allison went to bed. My kids went to bed. I thought, I'm going to be like Jesus, man. I'm praying through the night. I feel intercessors in the room here this morning. So I prayed, right? Prayed. And so the Lord speaks to me at about 4 o'clock in the morning and says, he's the reluctant leader. That is like Moses. You know, Moses was called by God, and Moses like, me? Are you sure? Are you sure? I gotta start it. And God says, and that's why I've chosen him, because he doesn't have pride in his heart. There's not ambition to be whatever. He just wants to serve me, and that's why I've chosen him. So I called him in the morning, and I'm like, this is what I feel God's saying. So, you know, they go through their political process and so on. Now, I've got to tell you about my Fridays. Who loves Fridays, anyone? Fridays are cool, man. Fridays is like, I'm young. So on Friday, it's called Reward Brad Day. The reason why it's called Reward Brad Day is because it's the day with my wife. And we go touring, we go adventuring. And one of the Reward Brad Days and things that I do is I get myself a bacon and egg roll with cooked onion and barbecue sauce. So this is all happening on a Friday. They have this whole election thing. I'm eating my bacon and egg roll. Come on, some of you are like, you're feeling it right now. I can tell. The sauce is just dripping down. And I probably did not, I underestimated what would actually happen if he got elected. Because, you know, the media and so on knew that he went to our church. He was his previous portfolio. He was the federal treasurer of Australia. So they kind of knew a bit about our church and so on, but didn't all at the same time. Well, he gets elected to become the Prime Minister of Australia. Now, I don't know how this happens, but literally within 5 minutes, my phone starts ringing of journalists wanting to interview me. I'm not in politics. I'm a servant of Jesus. And they're like, we want to find out, what does the word Pentecostal mean? They want to know about healing. They want to know about speaking in tongues. So I'm like getting my suit ready. They go, we're going to be at the church in 5 minutes. We want to put you live on ABC. I'm like, time to shave. So I'm like, and I was shaving so fast that I left this little line like this here on one side. And so they interviewed me that afternoon, and literally from the next morning, now it's a Saturday, from 6 a.m. through to 9 p.m. that evening, my wife and I are doing media interviews with all the top news channels and newspapers in Australia. I'm eating my bacon and egg roll and go to this. And I'm like, then on the Sunday, like so literally in our church, you imagine, like in the car park area of your church, we would have on average around about 10 to 15 to 20 journalists at the front of their church because the Prime Minister would bring his family to church. It changed. Then you always get the nice people as well. The nice people who want to bomb your church. So all threats started coming. These people found my home address. They started coming into my home address. I had to upgrade all the security on my property. One guy actually came onto my lawn one day, like early hours in the morning, because they think somehow or another I was affecting public policy, which is like, no, I'm building the Church of Jesus Christ, but they just kind of put it all together. And, it started to really fatigue me because, you know, I'm kind of a disciplined hard worker as it is, but this kind of literally added about 20 to 30 hours worth of work per week to my timetable, because there are those in the media who want to hurt Jesus, who want to hurt the reputation of the church. So they were throwing out all kinds of trick questions. And one thing you learn is you need to respond, because you've got to actually control the narrative to honor the name of Jesus Christ. And so it took thought power between Allison and I and some of our key team to get this right. The church changed. It was full on. So one night I had this dream, and it was like this pack. I'm not one of these, like, you know, every 3 seconds having a dream about something. But this one was, I had this dream, man. And I had this dream that this pack of dogs were running through the suburbs of Sydney. And the lead dog had this iron jaw. And eventually, as they ran through the suburbs, they came to my suburb and leaped from the road into my bedroom, and the lead dog went to crush my head with this iron jaw. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I kind of went like this to block it, you know? And fear came. Fear was all over me. Fear, a spirit of intimidation trying to make me timid to what God was doing at the time, because Christianity went on the front page of our nation for week after week after week, and they were filming our church. And not that we were trying to glorify our church, we were glorifying the name of Jesus Christ and lifting Him up. And the enemy was angry, the enemy was upset. I started to panic. I've never had panic attacks in my life. I'm like a positive brother. I'm like, when you're fatigued, I would shake. My sleep patterns got, you know, when your sleep patterns go all, you know, weird, it affects your health, affects your mental health. The Word of God says He gives us His beloved sleep. Because I'm thinking, what's next? What's the next thing that's coming? Just, you know, particularly when they're threatening your family. One guy wrote me a letter telling me how he was going to kill me, kill my family. I don't know who he is. He was from Queensland. So I was fatigued. I'm like, God, I don't even feel your presence anymore. I'm not a politician. I'm a man of the Spirit. I'm a man of the Word. I'm a man of the anointing. I feel dead. Can't sense you anymore. And I had to go to God. Come on, God, help me. I'm praying. Come on, stay with me now. I'm pressing in. If I could have the keyboard player, please. Oh, he's there. It's like, what? What? You can take the picture down, by the way. That's enough now. The Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, watch this, God has not given to us, come on now, a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God has not given to us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. If any of you lacks wisdom, he can ask of God, who gives to all generously. Oh God, you're the God of wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. God, reveal clarity. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom. And fear came. And fear just started to just fall off me. Fall off me. I feel God say, and watch what I will do. Couple of weeks later, it's the office of the Prime Minister. This Sunday, the Prime Minister is bringing the Prime Minister of Samoa to church. I'm like, cool. So he comes with his delegation, and I'm like, how cool is this? Like, we're Holy Ghost Church, man. You know, we press into Jesus. And I'm like, we've got two prime ministers in the atmosphere of the anointing. How good? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand of praise. So during the worship, the Prime Minister of Australia, he texts me and he says, oh, would you be able to formally introduce the Prime Minister of Samoa? I'm like, sure. Thought you would do it, but I'm happy to. And I thought, let me just triple check his name, because there's some things you can get wrong in life, but never, ever get a Prime Minister's name wrong. So I'm looking at his name, Church 1132. Every letter in the alphabet was in his name, plus something that I've never heard of before. And I go to the green room, I'm like on YouTube, and I'm like, how do I get this name right? And I couldn't get it right. I thought, I got a strategy. When it comes time to welcome him, I'm going to be like, church, we're going to give Jesus an awesome hand of praise. And in the peak of the sound, I'm going to go, and let's welcome Prime Minister. So it's like, and I'm like, and let's welcome Prime Minister. And it's like, yeah. He comes to our green room afterwards. He asks for prayer. I place my hands on his shoulder. And I speak the presence, the love of Jesus to fill him, fill his family. A couple of weeks later, Brad, it's the office of the Prime Minister. Hello, how are you? This Sunday, the Prime Minister of Australia is bringing the Prime Minister of Fiji to church. I'm like, awesome. Oh, look at that. Fiji water. How funny is that? Just realised that. So on the Saturday, I get a phone call again. It's the office of the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister of Fiji actually had a delegation of 30 of his cabinet with him visiting Australia at that time. They're all coming to church tomorrow. I'm like, this is on, man. So I'm driving near the church, right? Chris, just near the church. And I see like all these police cars and there's kind of a couple of lead vehicles, but there's no one in the lead vehicles apart from the driver. And I realised they're practising for tomorrow morning. And I thought, man, I'm going to the shop. I'm getting me a new suit. I'm going to look the part tomorrow. They come to church. They literally shut down the streets around our church. Come on, God's up to something great. They come to church and presence of God is there. I thought, you know what we're going to sing today? We're going to sing Shout to the Lord from Darlene Check. You know, I'm like, that just touches people's lives. And the Holy Spirit says, go for souls. Some of them don't know me. I said in the meeting, I'm like, if you don't know Jesus as your personal friend, he loves you. He cares for you. He wants to set you free. You're not here by chance. You're not here by accident. You're here because the God of all creation is drawing you to himself. I said, if you don't know Jesus, you may feel like you're the worst person ever. He loves you. He died, watch this, so that you might live. So if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you, put up your hand. I watched in that delegation, hands going up, and tears running down their cheeks. Watch this as they encountered the presence of God, the love of Jesus Christ. A few weeks after that, it's the office of the Prime Minister. This Sunday, we got a US delegation. And I'm like, okay. I won't say who, but it was one of your senior people, like right up there, right up the top. Now, when the US do security, I'm like, okay, this is new. They literally put a satellite dish out the front of my church so they could talk back to America. I'm like in this top level in my church looking down at like the Secret Service, you know? And I'm like, what have I got myself into? They come back to our green room, side room afterwards, and they said, Pastor Brad, could you and your wife please pray for us? We're having trouble with our son. Place my hand on their shoulder. Jesus, you love them so much. Come on, you're kind, you're gracious, You're merciful. You're compassionate. Touch their son. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. God can take dead things. The spirit of timidity. Some of you are bound by fear today. But God speaks to you and he says, dead things can come back to life. There's hope. There's hope in your body. Here's a word for someone. There's hope in your mind. There's hope for your mind. You do not need to live with that. You do not need to accept it. It's not who you are. You're a child of God. You're a son of the King. You're a son of the Most High God. That's not who you are.